Friday night. That means it's time for the Don Tony Show.
You've waited all week, and now it's finally here. Get Don Tony's perspective on current affairs in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
And now, your host, the man, the legend, Don Tony.
Hey, Giffy, everybody, how you doing? Joey B, he sent a little wedding gift. You know, my wife is like, what am I going to do with that? I said, absolutely nothing. I'm wearing it tonight. Little tribute, I guess, to not only the fact that I'm Italian, you know, maybe Butch, you know, watch party the other night. We were going to give away something with Butch, but we decided to do it tonight. That drawing will be on Monday. So I look goofy. It's supposed to be a tie. Well, should we keep this hat on, or will she put? Maybe we'll mix it. By the way, just random because I'm looking at it. L.A. Knight is officially back on WWE programming. Max Dupree is dead. L.A. Knight is back, and in the very near future, I got a very cool giveaway that we're gonna do. We're gonna do this. I don't know if you can see it. My grimy fingers, but we're going to give away not only a Max Dupree autograph photo, we're going to give away the only LA Knight card that exists. No joke. No joke. That'll be in the future, near future. How's everybody doing tonight? Much love, everybody. Much love. It is Friday. I know a lot of people are currently watching AEW Rampage. And then AEW Battle of the Belts, both shows are live tonight. So for anybody that's watching this on a replay that couldn't catch the show live, totally understand. It's all good. It's all good. You know, before we talk a moment about Sarah Lee, just an awful, awful story to come out today. You know, SmackDown just went off the air. And, you know, I'm left with this episode thinking about Vince McMahon. And the reason why I say it, and I know someone already sent a super chat in about this topic. Two things tonight, other than the Bray Wyatt stuff, which we will dissect momentarily. But two things that caught my eye tonight. First off, Legado del Fantasma making their SmackDown debut. And wow, Electra Lopez, you kind of changed your look a little bit. Yeah, that's Zelina Vega. Zelina Vega is now with Legado del Fantasma. I'm not going to crap on this. In fact, I'll give you my thoughts about it a little bit later. But I will say this. I could only imagine the IWC reaction shitting on Vince McMahon if they came out today with Zelina Vega instead of Electra Lopez. You know, there'd be all these hashtags. It'd be all that, because I remember Hit Row. Remember when Hit Row came back? And we didn't see, you know, like certain Vince McMahon. Always blaming shit on Vince McMahon. I got another one for you, too. What about the finish of SmackDown tonight? No way to put this other than, you know, this is why I always said, look, Triple H is a human being. Creatively, he's flawed. There's no one that is perfect at what they do. And I'm not crapping on Triple H for this. But I could only imagine, you know, Sheamus about to win the Intercontinental Championship. He has a submission move on Gunther. And I could only imagine the Bruce Pritchard, Vince McMahon criticism tonight. If they were still, well, Bruce Pritchard's around, but if Vince was still at the helm and this happens, look closely, tap, tap, referee brushes it off. Why? Because he stopped. Because he stopped. He fucking tapped. And, you know, that's not the first time WWE's done stuff like that. Remember the pay-per-view? What was it, Elimination Chamber? I remember a cage or Elimination Chamber, and I remember a referee totally screwing up, and everybody online shit on it, and they tried to turn it into a storyline where the referee admitted that he made a mistake the following night. You know, that's garbage. You know, that's basically saying, look, you know, if Sheamus would have won the championship, all would have been forgotten. But at the end, a shillelagh is used. Gunther cheats to win. Now, Extreme Rules is going to be a good old-fashioned Donnybrook. Tomorrow's going to be awesome. And, you know, let's also remember, the battle that Gunther and Sheamus put on tonight, and to realize in less than 24 hours, they're going to be beating the shit out of each other again. So, you know, I just look, I don't have too much of a problem with what went down tonight. When we, again, when we talk about Zelina Vega a little bit later, you know, I'm not going to crap on that. I'm going to give you my honest thoughts, but I can't help but to think to myself, what would have the reaction been tonight if Vince McMahon was still at the helm? You know, there'd be podcasts and everything about it would have been, fuck you, Vince. Fuck you, Vince. Fuck you, Vince. Oh, we have all the Bray Wyatt stuff from tonight. A lot of people still think that Bray Wyatt officially makes his return tomorrow. The only question is, will he physically be there in person, or is it just an escalation of the vignette? Or do we just to be continued with more teasers at Extreme Rules? I will talk about that later. We will do predictions tonight. If you look at the synopsis for tonight's show, basically tonight's show is about SmackDown and Extreme Rules. That's it. All the other discussion, AEW stuff, we could save it for Monday. Obviously, this is going to be a big story that no one is talking about yet. The fact that Jon Moxley has just signed a 5-year extension that will keep him until 2027, which is interesting because if you actually do the math, that means his contract was expiring this year. Think about that. But yeah, we'll talk about that on Monday. And we got a few things to get into. Now, look, I just wanted to mention this at the beginning of the story, beginning of the show. Imagine yourself right now, 30 years old, in spectacular physical condition. Imagine yourself, you know, you get a sinus infection. I've gotten a few over the years. Sinus infections can knock you for a loop. Now imagine yourself recovering from this sinus infection and you finally get an opportunity to go back to the gym and you go on Instagram and you post this picture and you tell everyone, wow, never had a sinus infection before, kicked my ass, so happy to be back in the gym today. And then to realize 48 hours later, she is dead. 30 years old. Sara Lee, 2015 Tough Enough winner, unfortunately has passed away at the age of 30. I know a lot of you probably don't know all that much about her other than the fact that she was married to Wesley Blake. If you go and check the history of this channel, we actually talked in detail when he got released. And if I remember correctly, that was right around the time they either got married or they were first having kids. And, you know, it was just a sad story at that time. Like, wow, look, you know, bright, get married, you look for your future, and then WWE, you know, sends releases out. But 30 years old, Jesus. I mean, I never talked to her, never met her, but everything that I have been reading online about her has been nothing but beautiful. And it's not beautiful just because she passed. But she truly, truly, you know, and you know what? If you don't even want to use, well, maybe it's sympathy, go back to when she was let go and look at the reaction on the IWC when Wesley Blake was let go. And you'll realize how well-liked Sara Lee was. An absolute tragedy. I want to make this clear. No cause of death has been revealed. You'll see some really horrible wrestling news websites and a few podcasts out there that are actually writing update on Sara Lee's passing. There is no update. She passed, and the family has not revealed publicly what was the cause of it. Now, I will say this. This may have nothing to do with this, but I just want to share something. And I'm almost tempted to call my brother on speakerphone right now to back it up, you know, because you know me. It's a good thing about me, but it's also a bad thing about me. Whenever I tell a story on this show, I always feel I got to show you proof because there's so much lying going on out there. I mean, it's a true story. My brother, about maybe a year ago, had a horrible, horrible infection in his body. Didn't know what it was. We thought he had a heart attack. He had chest pains. He went to urgent care. Urgent care sent him to the hospital. My brother goes to the hospital. First, they think he might have had a mild heart attack. Now, my brother is younger than me. He's a couple of years younger than me. My brother, you know, I'm sure some of you saw some of the pictures from my wedding. You know what my brother looks like. So anyway, long story short, we find out it wasn't a heart attack. Then they think maybe his gallbladder needs to be taken out. I had mine taken out a few years ago. My family members, it's, you know, I don't know if it's hereditary, but they thought that. Anyway, the end result was that they found that he had some type of vicious infection in his system. And they told my brother that if he would have waited a few days to go to the hospital, my brother would have been dead. I mean, there, no bullshit. My brother got treated, was in for a few days. I never talked about this specific part publicly, but some of you may remember a little over a year ago, I said, you know, I'm just sending thoughts out to my brother who's in the hospital right now. But they told him if he would have waited a few extra days, he would have been dead. So I don't know if this infection, you know, had anything to do with this, but it just goes to show you, you know, look at me. Look at me. You know, you can't see it. I wear black shirts, so you can't see it. But, you know, I'm not in the greatest of health. You know, I have way too many pounds carrying around. You look at someone like that in perfect physical condition. I mean, and 30 years old on top of it. And, you know, it's heartbreaking. It is absolutely heartbreaking. And this is the family. What a sad story. So, look, I don't want anybody to feel like you have to be obligated, but I want to let everyone know two things. Number one, there is a GoFundMe that is up right now that is for a memorial fund for her. It not only will cover funeral expenses, but obviously there's a couple of kids now that have lost their mom, and now Wesley Blake is a single parent. So I took the GoFundMe link and I made it easy by putting up a tiny URL link. I made that. So if anybody out there wants to donate, it's tinyurl.com/RIP Sarah Lee. Another thing, if anybody super chats this show tonight, Saturday night for Extreme Rules or Sunday for the sit down, not only will I donate all of the proceeds in everybody's names, but I will match it as well. So, you know, I'm saying this comically. Hopefully we don't have any millionaires sending gigantic donations because obviously my finances are limited as well. But anybody that super chats, I will match it. And, you know, just like we did for Shad Gaspard and Daphne and others, I don't put it out there for everybody to see. You know, some people donate and then they'll just post screenshots of their own donation like they want people to congratulate them or give them props. You know, you will be able to go there and see for yourself that we sent it. So rest in peace, Sarah Lee. Rest in peace. All right. So, we also have to talk about the shakeup in the commentary teams with WWE. I guess we could talk about that first. Because Extreme Rules predictions in 24 hours, that show's off the air already. So we're not going to spend much time on predictions tonight. But, you know, people that check out the show afterwards, you know, you see how on point we were or how way off we were. WWE has shaken up the commentary teams, not only for Raw, not only for SmackDown, but also for NXT and for premium live events. Now, familiar face will be returning to WWE. And I'm not talking about the five-time WCW champion. I'm talking about Kathy Kelly. Kathy Kelly, you know, very, very well-liked, very popular in NXT. She made her exit, very emotional at that time. I think it was her choosing to leave. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. I have not followed Kathy Kelly's career since she left WWE. But the fact that she's coming back, especially now under the Triple H regime, very, very cool. Very cool. So Kathy Kelly is returning. As I mentioned a few moments ago, Booker T is now going to be a commentator for WWE programming as well. And unfortunately, we do have an exit, you know, one casualty out of all of this. And that casualty, believe it or not, is Jimmy Smith. Now, I tell you, I look back at Jimmy Smith's run, you know, started in the, you know, the I don't want to say the COVID era because we're still in COVID, obviously, but, you know, the Thunderdome era, you know, it started. And I thought he did a great job. I thought he did a great job. Early on, you know, he obviously needed to find his place. A lot of, you know, references with UFC. I think trying to force the names of moves sometimes. I remember something with Shayna Baszler that he said, it just didn't feel natural. It felt like he was forcing things to be said to make it almost appear like, yeah, I know what's up with WWE. You could tell that he obviously was not up to the times with some people. But Jimmy Smith, I thought, did a damn good job doing commentating for Raw. A guy that has no background doing pro wrestling commentary, I thought he did a really good job. Especially the fact, you're talking about WWE. You're not talking about an indie fed. You're not talking about a small, you're talking about the biggest promotion in the world. And there is a lot of pressure. Plus, you got Corey Graves there. And even Byron Saxton. You got to keep up with those guys. You know, you start going silent, that's when Vince goes verbally violent. Jimmy Smith did a great job. Unfortunately, he was fired. He was let go. And he actually revealed online that he accidentally was told on Raw Monday that he was fired. And he was told by Triple H. Now, shout out to Johnny for sending me this transcript. But Jimmy Smith went on his podcast today. I'll read you quickly what happened on Raw Monday. Then after that, I will show you the new commentary teams, the announced teams for every brand, including Premium Live Events, because there is a new team strictly for Premium Live Events. So Jimmy Smith says, and I quote, Triple H accidentally told me before the show Monday that I was let go. He screwed up and told me and didn't mean to. He says, what happened was he was doing prep for the show, and they had a production meeting and an on-air. Seth Rollins cut a promo saying that, hey, DC hates Riddle just as much as I do. So everybody in the production meeting looked at Jimmy Smith and said, you know, what did he mean? You know, is there a specific problem with Washington, DC and Riddle? Now, they looked at Jimmy Smith, not to test him, but because Riddle has a UFC background. So maybe he had to do it Ultimate Fight. Remember, Danielle Cormier is going to be special referee tomorrow for the Fight Pit. So he says to the production team, well, Riddle's been critical of a fighter, of fighters' pay in the UFC, and Danielle Cormier is kind of like a company guy. And, you know, he goes up to Riddle and he says, do you in Washington, D.C. have any type of a beef or problem? And Riddle says, no, we're cool. So Jimmy Smith says, Riddle says he might be upset that I out-wrestled John Jones and he couldn't, meaning that he beat the famous photo of Riddle on the podium saying whoever John Jones was. You know, whatever it is. Anyway, the bottom line is they were trying to come up with the reason why Seth Rollins made that comment. Funny thing is I don't know why they didn't just go to Seth Rollins, you know? But anyway, so Riddle talks about how he out-wrestled John Jones twice. So Jimmy Smith thinks, oh, man, that's good. That's a great line. Let me go to Triple H and see if I could use it. So Triple H sees Jimmy Smith, and he tells Triple H, hey, I just talked to Riddle, and he gave me this line about how he out-wrestled John Jones twice. And Triple H says to Jimmy Smith, okay, cool, give that to Michael Cole. And Jimmy Smith's thinking to himself, wait a minute. Why am I giving that to Michael Cole for Saturday? Why aren't I saying it? Oh, I'm fired, ain't I? And he's like, all right, I'll give it to Michael. Didn't say a word. Then he found out he was let go. So Triple H didn't intentionally tell him, but inadvertently told him that he was fired. So Jimmy Smith is gone from WWE. He had nothing but good things to say about WWE. He called it a circus and he called it crazy. And, you know, there's a lot out there, but that's what pro wrestling is. No insult whatsoever. The guy came in with class and the guy is leaving with class. And, you know, will Jimmy Smith ever be back in pro wrestling? Anything's possible. I got to take that off. Don't get me wrong. I like that hat. I like it. And I will wear it from time to time. But I don't know. I kind of feel like, yeah, I got to put that on. So anyway, Jimmy Smith is gone. So now, one thing I need to point out to everyone, understand this, you know, especially when we look at the SmackDown announce team. Okay, that is your SmackDown commentary team. Michael Cole, Wade Barrett, Samantha Irvin continues as the ring announcer. Kayla Braxton and Megan Morant will still do backstage interviews. So the main change is Corey Graves, who is filling in, is no longer there. Wade Barrett will be in his place. Keep in mind, and this is something that a lot of people are not talking about. Ooh, why is that so small? That's better. They're not talking about the fact that Pat McAfee is going to be back in WWE after college football is over. You know, so he will be back in WWE, I guess what, January, around that time? So the big question is, what happens to Wade Barrett in January? My honest opinion, Wade Barrett will be moved. And it's going to be really interesting if he moves to where I think he could move. My point is, what you see now as far as the commentary teams, do not be surprised if it's shaken up quite a bit again in January, February, whenever it is when Pat McAfee is ready to return. And I'll show you why in a second. So now with Wade Barrett no longer doing NXT, what does the NXT commentary team look like? Well, I'm going to give it to you right now. It is Booker T, Vic Joseph, you know, familiar faces, obviously. And not only that, Mackenzie Mitchell will be the backstage interviewer, and Alicia Taylor will continue to do the duties for NXT commentary. So you look at this and you say to yourself, okay, all right, you know, I can dig it. Booker T's not bad. I mean, Booker T's had his moments on Raw back in the day that was quite comical. But hey, I'll take Booker T doing commentary. So Vic Joseph, Booker T. And I know, you know, Vic Joseph and Wade Barrett had a blast doing commentary together. By the way, Nigel McGuinness, somebody told me tonight that he is officially gone from WWE as well. Nigel McGuinness has not done American TV for WWE in quite some time. So Nigel McGuinness, you know, hey, maybe he's brought back once NXT Europe is ready to go full force. But this is your commentary team for NXT. Now we go to Monday Night Raw. And this may actually surprise quite a few people out there. If you look at the commentary team, all right, you see Byron Saxton still. But believe it or not, Byron Saxton will now be backstage and doing interviews in the ring. He is no longer on play-by-play. Your play-by-play for Monday Night Raw now will be Corey Graves and Kevin Patrick, a two-man team for 3 hours of Raw. Now, in my opinion, I would have done something similar to what AEW has done with Jim Ross in recent months. maybe you have Kevin Patrick do hour one, and then you bring Byron Saxton on for hour two, and then maybe you bring Kevin Patrick on for the final hour, or you rotate that a little bit. I kind of like Byron Saxton. I think he has done a lot better in recent times as far as WWE programming goes with commentating. But as you see, Kathy Kelly will be a backstage interviewer, and Mike Rome will be doing the announcing. So that is your Raw team. Now, we go back to Wade Barrett and Pat McAfee. What happens when Pat McAfee returns? In my opinion, you cannot put Wade Barrett on Raw when you have Corey Graves there. I mean, that is a slaughter to have two very snarky and entertaining heels. And the third commentator is a, you know, kind of like a babyface, unless you could really back your shit up. You know, you think of Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler. You think of Vince McMahon and Jesse Ventura. You think of, you could choose any commentary teams you want. You know, if you're going to have a ying, you have to have a yang. You can't have two yings and one yang unless that yang could really back himself up. Could you imagine if it's Kevin Patrick, Corey Graves, and Wade Barrett on Raw? I mean, that would be a slaughter. My honest opinion, I think Booker T is temporary. I think Booker T is doing this for the remainder of the year. If you remember one of my sausage articles from the end of July, that WWE and Triple H was going to periodically have Hall of Famers come in, make guest appearances more frequently on TV, doing some guest commentating. The tweet is there. You could look at it. July 25th is when I wrote it. So I think Booker T might be temporary for NXT. And I think once Pat McAfee is ready to return, I think Wade Barrett goes back to NXT and Pat McAfee goes back to SmackDown. My only question is the two-man commentary team for Raw. You know, hopefully I didn't confuse anybody today. But, you know, I have to share this too. I don't know if any of you noticed this. I dig it. I get a kick out of it. Samantha Irvin, you know, the announcer for SmackDown. She's dating Ricochet. What a sweet girl. But I always pop when she announces Gunther. Because if you remember, when they first changed the name from Walter to Gunther, they were saying Gunther. And you remember that night, I said, no, you got to say Gunther. It's Gunther. It just sounds more powerful. And if you ever, like, listen to her announce Gunther, when she starts announcing him, she talks pretty normal. But then you could feel it. She gets into it. Because she's like, as soon as she says Imperium, you could kind of hear her like change. She'll say, like, not representing Imperium, representing Imperium from Vienna, Austria, weighing 250 pounds. He is the Intercontinental Champion, Gunther. Go watch. If you never paid attention to it, go listen to her announcing Gunther tonight before the main event on SmackDown. She gets into it, man. She really gets into it. I'm enjoying it. But that is your announced team shakeup. So now, by the way, for everybody who is live, I mean, if you're on a replay, you already know how long this episode went. We're going to go through this episode pretty quick tonight because we have Extreme Rules tomorrow. And then Sunday we have the sit down. So we got a whole full weekend of shows. And Monday, obviously, is your post-Raw show. And, you know, let's talk a little bit about Bray Wyatt. Because a few things happened tonight. And I got it all for you. And you know what? I got to show you two fan videos of the white rabbit that was walking around the arena tonight at SmackDown. And I think it's really important that I show this to you because, you know, we always talk about how, you know, the noise on social media is a fraction, a tiny, tiny fraction of the overall wrestling audience. And, you know, it really caught my, especially with all the excitement for Bray Wyatt's return. All right, understand something. The QR codes that we have been watching on television, they show it in the building. Of course they show it in the building. But for the most part, you know, they're featured more for people at home. It's a scavenger hunt. If you watch the show later on, if you're mingling, it's a scavenger hunt online for everybody to have some interactive fun. But for casual wrestling fans, believe me when I tell you, there is a shitload of people that still have no idea that Bray Wyatt is about to return. Do you realize something? Something I'm going to share with you tonight that we would thinking about last week. I was talking to a friend of mine, but I wasn't sure. And I'm not going to lie to you, I really didn't have time to research the last month to confirm it. But as I thought about last week's show and the week before, that infamous September 23rd, when everybody was saying that Bray Wyatt was returning that night, and then they said September 30th, and they were wrong again. And I was like, you know what? Yeah, I think so. Was tonight the first time that the White Rabbit has ever been teased on television? Think about that for a minute. Did we ever see the White Rabbit pop up on WWE television? We had QR codes. We had teasers. We had other things that led to things. But you go back and you watch WWE programming over the last month, I don't recall ever seeing that White Rabbit on Raw, on SmackDown. The closest you got to it was Joe Gacy on NXT when the Instagram feed of Grayson Waller popped up and Joe Gacy put a White Rabbit. You know, this is why, you know, when I try to dissect this, I try to really pay attention to see. And, you know, I don't recall ever seeing that White Rabbit pop up on TV. Tonight was the first time ever we saw that White Rabbit on SmackDown. I'm going to share with you. But before we do that, let's talk about, in order, the Bray Wyatt stuff. Then we'll do some quick results, predictions, out of here. All right, so Triple H opens up SmackDown tonight. And, you know, I'm not going to post, you know, the actual video. But, you know, if you look at Triple H, you know, he's welcoming everybody to SmackDown. Now, I don't have the audio on for a reason. And he's basically telling everyone, look, you know, sometimes when you look at the end, you think the end is the end. But in a lot of ways, the end is the beginning. And, you know, it's like, it almost sounded like Roddy Piper. Just when you think you have, you know, the answers, I change the questions. You know, something like that. And I know what he was trying to do, but pay attention to the microphone and pay attention to now. So now he's welcoming everyone to Fox and the season premiere of Friday Night SmackDown. Watch his hand. There you go. Welcome to Fox. All right. See, the microphone is down. Watch what he does. Boom. Comes back on with a QR code. Flips the mic around. Welcome to SmackDown. So Triple H puts that on the screen. We got the QR code. Okay. Now, if anybody that wants to go check out the link and see the video for themselves, all right, you could go to www.com/100822. Tomorrow's date, Extreme Rules, 100822. Go to www.com/100822. When you go there, you see this. Now, when you watch it, you may not think all that much other than over and over, let me in, let me in, let me in. I'm going to show you the video first, and then I'm going to show you a freeze frame of one of the clips that you're about to see. Now, this is from tonight. Okay. All right. We see all the pigs again. Let me in. If you slow it down and watch it frame by frame, snuck in there is this. That is stuck in that video today. Huskus the pig. Go watch the video, download it, watch it frame by frame. Huskus the pig pops up. Okay. Do you know, I actually was going to show you the screenshot, and I was like, I'm not even going to waste my time. That's why I sometimes call sports Skeeta, shit Skeeta. Literally 6 hours ago, they put on their social media, so who's going to be the white rabbit? And they're still actually showing you, as options, Baron Corbin, Karrion Kross, Aleister Black with Bray Wyatt. I mean, I understand you want to be interactive with people, but you got to treat people like they're mentally challenged just to get hits. And it's got like 2,500 likes. Unbelievable. All right, we got another video tonight. Now, if you noticed, because I know somebody that may not have watched SmackDown tonight, they might say, wait a minute, DT, hold on. I didn't see no white rabbit. And we're not talking about the white rabbit that was walking around the building tonight. We'll get to that in a moment. In fact, you know what? Let's show the white rabbit in the building. Then I'll show you the other video because it leads into Extreme Rules. So tonight in the building, a white rabbit showed up walking around the arena. It happened during the women's tag match, Xia Li and Sonya Deville losing to Raquel Rodriguez and Shotzi Blackheart. A lot of fans took their phones out and were shooting video of this white rabbit just walking around towards the back of the building. This is the same thing that WWE has done with the fan, with the anagram, Bray Wyatt, that we talked about earlier in the week. And last week, you know, when you see somebody walking by and there's a teaser, or remember the Q code that was walking by? The same thing tonight. This was just not a random fan that just decided, let me dress up in a $500 perfectly white bunny outfit, walk around the building and leave. No, this was WWE putting it out there. Now, the thing I found fascinating, and there's probably about 15 videos as of the start of tonight's show here. There's at least 15 fan videos online of recording this rabbit walking by. You know what's fascinating about all these videos I watched? The fact of the crowd around them didn't give a shit. If I know Bray Wyatt's about to return, whether I think it's a plant or just a crazy fan with a very expensive white bunny outfit walking around, white rabbit, I would turn around and be like, yeah, Bray Wyatt, yeah, chance something. People, or you know what? People start turning their heads. Look, it's a rabbit. I'm going to show you one video. First, I got to show you the video, which I say is brought to you by Clueless 3, coming out to a theater near you. I mean, listen to this fan reaction of the white bunny when they saw it. As I said, this is brought to you by Clueless 3. Coming out to a theater near you. Now, you know what? Before I even show you the rest of it, as you're watching this, pay attention to the fans all around this rabbit as he's walking by. Now, the audio is funny. That's why it's brought to you by Clueless. But I want you to also just pay attention to the fans as this rabbit is walking by. You know, I just realized I fucked up. That's the second video. All right, we'll show the second video first. This is not the funny audio, but here's the second video. But look at the fans. They don't give a fuck. No one is reacting. Yeah, it's a better view of it. Nobody's pointing. Nobody's look, nothing. 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 They're right. Nobody. Nothing. Zero. Unbelievable. Leave it to Benjamin. Oh, they're focused on the match. The fuck out of here. Seriously. All right. Here is the clip I wanted to show you. Brought to you by Clueless 3, coming out to a theater near you.
Bro,
No, you didn't.
It's not Bray Wyatt.
It's not Bray Wyatt. I could put 15 videos on here and you all disconnect and go watch Fuego del Sol on Rampage. But you start watching all these videos and it all different camera and you'll say, nobody fucking cared. It kind of blew me away. I mean, look, you turn the lights down and everybody will just turn on their phones. And then they start singing that White Rabbit song. Then everybody starts, you got the fucking bunny right there. Nobody react to it. Unbelievable. So, all right, here is the other video that aired today. This aired kind of as a commercial tonight during SmackDown, but they showed it twice. Now, towards the end of it, I'm going to tell you something right now so you don't get confused. Towards the end of it, you're going to see some phrases on your screen, all right, that you may not know what they mean. They all have the same definition. Watch the video first, and then I'll show you what they are. This is the video that aired today on SmackDown. That's DX for Extreme Rules. All those phrases mean feed your head. So they all say the same thing. So, you know, if you want to Google each phrase, it's just written in different languages. So that was the video. Now, I'm going to show you it again. Now, unfortunately, I did not have enough time to pull it up. Look, we started this show literally 3-4 minutes after SmackDown ended. But I don't want to put too much into this, but something you might want to think about. I'm going to show you one spot, and then I'm going to pause it, and then I'll tell you something that may have nothing to do with it, but something you might want to think about, okay? Watch the beginning of this video, and I'm going to pause something. It's coming up. All right, here it comes. Okay, that. Okay, see those wavy lines? See those wavy lines? Okay. Somebody DM'd me tonight that Finn Balor used to have a shirt that his name was like an anagram also that spelled Balor on the back of the shirt, I believe. And on the front, I think, was the same wavy lines. Now, again, I have not had a chance to even look at the shirt, but I do remember the anagram shirt because I think even on the show that night, I think I said something stupid like, what the hell is that spell? You know, not realizing it's spelled Balor. Could have nothing to do with it, but I wanted to throw it out there. So we'll check it out. So that is what we got tonight for the Bray Wyatt teasers. Tomorrow, Extreme Rules, something is going down. It's pretty cool. No Roman Reigns at Extreme Rules. No Usos at Extreme Rules. No problem. No Usos, no problem. I mean, there are a lot of people that are not on this show, and people are still extremely, no pun intended, excited. And I'm looking forward to it. Six matches. Do we get the big reveal, or does it just get one step closer to Bray Wyatt? Now, for Patreon and for our channel members here, for the predictions contest, one of the questions is, as a bonus question, will Bray Wyatt appear in person? That is the question. Now, when I show you the banners for Extreme Rules, keep in mind that the match with Edge and Finn Balor, in the background, you do see a lantern. And you do see fireflies. We've pointed that out before. There are two matches for Extreme Rules that if you look in the background, you do see fireflies. You do see a lantern. So could any of those individuals have something to do with Bray Wyatt going forward? Don't know. I do remember about 2 weeks ago, I think on one of the sit-down episodes, we were talking about, you know, do you think Bray Wyatt could lead the Judgment Day, you know, or like a hybrid of it? Who knows? Who knows? But, all right, before we get into predictions for Extreme Rules, let's just quickly overview SmackDown. They got a big problem with Logan Paul, obviously. Something I didn't like with the storyline tonight. And you could see where there may be a major twist in the storyline. Now, you probably have heard by now that WWE has hired someone as like long-term, you know, creative. Like somebody was specifically hired to, you know, like focus on long-term booking, long-term creative, you know, like just long-term storytelling. To me, I call it the Prevagen hire, because something to think about, all right? And it had to do tonight with Jey Uso and Roman Reigns, all right? Triple H opens the show, welcomes everyone to Fox, everyone to SmackDown. He leaves quickly. Here comes the Bloodline. Bloodline hit the ring, and Roman Reigns acknowledged me. Logan Paul comes out. Paul Heyman eviscerates Logan Paul. Talks about how when he first heard the name, who the hell is Logan Paul? I popped, because what movie, let's see who's paying attention out there. What movie did I say 2 weeks ago that they should have based Roman Reigns and Logan Paul on? The storyline, what movie? I'll give you a hint. It's the same movie that I said should have been the storyline. Iman Perry, shout out to you, my friend. He's already got it. Same story that they should have done with Chris Jericho and Jungle Boy in AEW. Remember 2 weeks ago I said they should have done the Rocky storyline where, remember, Apollo Creed is looking for, you know, a nobody to give somebody an opportunity? You know, somebody, you know, an opportunity, an unknown. And even Paul Heyman said, you know, when he heard Logan Paul, he's like, who's a Logan Paul? Like, given an opportunity. But did anybody hear Paul Heyman use the word pussification today? I got about 15 DMs and emails right at the beginning of SmackDown. Did you just hear what Paul Heyman said? I rewound it. I didn't even realize it at first. But Paul Heyman actually was talking about the pussification of America, which is pretty wild, you know? Remember the Jew joke that I made on this show? Remember when I said, that Ashley Massaro's fans, God rest her soul, but when she was in Puerto Rico that weekend, I said her fans should be called ash holes. And I made a remark, and then Paul Heyman used the same word for word the following Raw. And then I made a Jew joke the following week. Didn't piss anybody off. It was tongue-in-cheek. And he said the same exact joke a week later. It was kind of creepy at that time. Does he listen to the shows? No. I don't know. Not even going to go there. But he actually mentioned a word today. So people popped. So it made me feel good because you all remember that. So by now, it's a played-out word. I don't disagree with that. But Logan Paul is getting eaten up by the fans as well. Logan sucks. Logan sucks. Logan sucks. So Roman Reigns is trying to save Logan Paul a little bit. So Roman says to Logan Paul, don't worry about it. He says, they did that to me years ago. Now I'm the greatest of all time. You know, trying to, you know, help Logan Paul a little bit. So basically, Paul Heyman says that they're using Logan Paul like WWE used Mr. T and Cyndi Lauper. Basically, they're using him to get some extra publicity for the tribal chief Roman Reigns. And I loved it. I loved it. He called him insta-famous. He called him the male Kardashian. He, you know, Paul Heyman ripped apart Jordan Peterson, Ben Shapiro, Andrew Tate. None of them would have the balls to face Roman Reigns. So Logan Paul, Paul Heyman finishes up and he says, when Logan Paul's in the hospital, he says, Logan Paul will be forced to say that I, Logan Paul, got smashed by Roman Reigns, a crown jewel, and that will not, I will not be offering a prediction. I will be offering a spoiler. Now, during the whole time that Paul Heyman is cutting this promo on Logan Paul. Paul Heyman must have said the tribal chief Roman Reigns at least 1,000 times. Yes, I'm exaggerating, but he did not say my tribal chief. My tribal chief. That you will be eviscerated by my tribal chief. No, he was saying tribal chief Roman Reigns. So Paul Heyman said Roman Reigns repeatedly. So Logan Paul, who's getting ripped apart by the fans as well, how does he come back with this? Logan Paul says, I have a question. When you say I'm going to be smashed by the tribal chief, are you talking about the tribal chief Roman Reigns or the tribal chief Jey Uso? I thought it was stupid because, hello, he said Roman Reigns 1,000 times, but what WWE was trying to do today is plant the seed that Jey Uso is looking to overthrow Roman Reigns, a coup, be the leader of the bloodline. So, Paul Heyman, you know, a little pissed off. Sami Zayn gets on the mic and tries to calm things down, even though it's about Jey Uso. And think about it. Sami Zayn don't have to do that about Jey Uso, but he's trying to calm things down. And while this is going on, Roman Reigns has got this look at Jey Uso. So, you know, I'm thinking about, so, okay, Logan Paul, the storyline is he's trying to cause a rift in the bloodline between Jey Uso and Roman Reigns. Now, remember the long-term storyline hire, the Prevagen hire, as I call it? All right, when you see this stare down tonight, what do you think about? Well, you think about this. All right, you know, when Jey Uso looks away tonight, you know, Roman Reigns has got this look on his face. And what do we think about? All right, this is the person that got hired. Hey, long-term storyline telling. So basically, the person that was hired, his job is WWE does not have anybody else. Now think about this for a minute. Seriously, think about this for a minute. You know, you and I watch pro wrestling every week. So we remember everything about the Wyatt family. We may not remember it this quick, but things start coming back. You know, you remember everything about this feud. You remember the bloodline. You remember Roman Reigns. What he did. So we remember this stuff. When it comes to people working behind the scenes, who do they have that is going to do that research and remember every little fart? Who? Vince McMahon? Bruce Pritchard? Kevin? Who the fuck is going to spend that time to try to find all the little clips to maybe make this all stick together? So they hired someone that's basically like, hey, we want to do Roman Reigns versus Matt Riddle. Your job is to find every little thing that those two guys did over the years and get us footage so they could try to splice it all together and make it turn into a storyline that makes sense. Think about it. That's what WWE hired. When you're a billion-dollar company, you could hire someone to pick the red M&Ms out of packs of M&Ms all day long. I only like red M&Ms. Hire someone, and their job is to pick out M&Ms. You're a billion-dollar company. If you feel that you hire someone, and all their job is to go back and look at the whole history with Roman Reigns and Jey Uso. Okay, get me the footage when they did this. Get this. Who else is going to pull that? What? See, WWE doesn't have like family members of the Young Bucks and others and this and that they're working, doing multi-jobs. They don't have anybody doing that. They're going to bring somebody in office. If someone doesn't follow it every day or every week, how are they even going to know the storylines from yesteryear? So what's going to happen is this person is going to have to go into their computers. Everything that is talked about is translated into visible text. Some people will make it similar to closed captioning. So this person's job now is to go back all these episodes and find the segments with these guys and try to put it all together. That's why all these Easter eggs with the Roman Reigns stuff. You know, when it goes back to different promos and Florida Championship Wrestling and this, and, you know, maybe this spells out for this, or, you know, that's all this person's job is. I don't know if that's a fun job. Would you want to do that job? I think about it, I'm like, I don't know if I really would want to do that job. I think that would be kind of rough, especially if you do miss something and WWE doesn't pick up on it. Man. But anyway, so that's what happened tonight. But to me, it was flawed because Paul Heyman made it clear. He was talking about Roman Reigns when he said, you know, you're going to be the Mr. T, the Cyndi Lauper. So you get more exposure. So for my tribal chief, Roman Reigns. So now the gift is, you know, little dissension. Later on, they have a backstage segment where the Usos, Sammy, Roman, they're all sitting around, and Jey Uso is pissed off and everything like that. Roman Reigns calls Jey Uso a hothead. But he now says that Jey Uso is Sami Zayn's problem, or Sami Zayn is Jey Uso's problem. And we ended up later on having a six-man tag match. Now, I'm going to show you another video clip from earlier today. Now, this video clip is in Spanish. And I did that on purpose so I don't get hit with copyright flags. All right? The Usos and Sami Zayn are walking around in the back. They bump into the New Day. The New Day is kind of making fun of the Usos. Sami Zayn steps up and he's like, you know, why don't you go get a tag partner? And we'll have a six-man tag match tonight. No problem. So later on, the Usos and Sami Zayn come out. The New Day come out. We don't know who their tag partner is going to be. It ends up being Braun Strowman. And Braun Strowman and the New Day defeat the Usos and Sami Zayn. Shit backfired tonight. No, it won't cause me copyright issues. But anyway, there was a segment during the match that I wanted to show you. First of all, Michael Cole is okay. But pay close attention. Basically, Sami Zayn is trying to get the tag to get Jey Uso to tag. And obviously, they don't like each other. And they start arguing outside the ring. And meanwhile, they're not paying attention to the match. And here comes Braun Strowman running to do the pounce. And when he connects, Sami Zayn goes this way, Jey Uso goes this way, and Jey Uso falls into Michael Cole. And it looked kind of brutal at first. But I want you to pay very close attention to Michael Cole because he did something during the moment. Now, I'll show you on regular speed, okay? They're arguing in the back. There you go. Look, they're looking around. There you go. Oh, Dios mio. Michael Cole is down. Michael Cole is down. Now, I'm going to show it to you again, but I'm going to pause something. All right, now I'm going to take the audio out, okay? So, yeah, watch it close. Braun Strowman is about to pounce them. There they go. There you go. Okay, here goes Michael Cole. Michael Cole goes down. Okay? I want you to pay close attention to Michael Cole's right hand. Watch what he does. This is something you do in wrestling. Watch closely. See Michael? Now, his left hand, for the people that can't figure it out, is holding a piece of paper, his notes. Watch Michael Cole's right hand and watch Jey Uso. There you go. See the handshake? Did you see the handshake? Let me see if I could rewind it. Let's see if I could rewind it. Let's see. Let me see if I could rewind it. Okay, here. Watch it close again. Watch his right hand. See? There's a handshake. Basically, squeezing the hand to let him know he's okay. Because Jey Uso, his first words are, "You okay?" And Michael Cole, because his face is visible, Michael Cole's not going to hide, but like, yeah, I'm okay. You know, his face is right on the camera. Michael Cole knows, you know, he's not going to start talking. So instead, Michael Cole squeezes Jey Uso's hand that he's okay. So he's good. But obviously the Usos lose. Sami Zayn loses also to Braun Strowman and the New Day. All right. Karrion Kross was supposed to come out for a match. He's in the ring. Yeah, we get that infamous pose once again. You know, everybody remembers Undertaker and AJ Styles, Keith Lee and whoever in NXT. You know, Karrion Kross. I don't know who he was supposed to face, or maybe just cut a promo. But anyway, Drew McIntyre shows up. He's there with Strap. Kind of backfires. Some vicious slaps being done to hype up their Strap match tomorrow at Extreme Rules. Segment was excellent, man. Did what it needed to do. So when we get to predictions, I will tell you who I believe is going to win. Now, two other things I want to share with you as far as matches. As I said earlier at the beginning of the show, Max Dupri is officially done. LA Knight is officially back. We saw Monsieur and we saw Marseille on the floor. Maxine Dupri is yelling at Max Dupri. What did you do? Why did you do this? Max Dupri is basically telling her, you know, how ridiculous they've become. And he said, stop calling me by that name. I was never that name. And he tells her, you reference me as L.A. Knight. And it was cool because the crowd picked up on it immediately. Soon as he said L, if you listen to the fans, you hear them go, A Knight. He's going to be so freaking over with his character coming back. And as I said, we'll do a contest in the near future. We'll give away two autographs. One as Max Dupri, as I showed you earlier. Look, he signed it as Max Dupri. And I have the card, the only LA Knight card in existence, autographed. LA Knight. And yeah, even for tonight's watch party. Oh, what the hell happened here? I almost hit the snooze button on my computer. How's this? Not only did Pete Dunne sign it as Pete Dunne, but he signed it as Butch, too. So, all right. We had also another segment in the back. Viking Raiders, all right? You really couldn't see much. If you can't figure it out, that is Sarah Logan. Basically, her back is facing the camera. You got Viking Raiders logos. You hear one of the members of the Viking Raiders talking about coming back stronger. And then you hear Sarah Logan say this.
When the gods speak, I listen.
Okay. Can only play a couple of seconds. That is the legalities here with YouTube. That is Sarah Logan. Unfortunately for some out there, that is not Electra Lopez. All right, Electra Lopez is no longer with Legado. We'll put her with... No, that is Sarah Logan. She will be returning with the Viking Raiders. So what did she say? Valhalla awaits? Is that how the phrase was? But, you know, some people are pretty pumped for that. I thought it was pretty good. Hit Row. We're in the back. I guess they were supposed to have a match, maybe cut a promo. But if you pay close attention, when they were in the back, right before they walked to the ring, an SUV pulled up. Again, long-term creative. Same model vehicle that we saw Legado del Fantasma last when Santos Escobar, remember when he lost the match with Tony D'Angelo? And then he pulled up with the SUV, rolled down the window, says, I'm not leaving without my friends. Remember, they all got in the SUV and they left. The same SUV pulled up tonight at SmackDown. So what ends up happening? A couple of masked men, three to be exact, hit the ring, started beating the crap out of Hit Row. And then Zelina Vega shows up and she takes out B-Fab. They unmask to reveal themselves as Legado del Fantasma. They are going to feud with Hit Row right at the beginning, which is something we talked about before. If you are a fan of NXT a little over a year ago, you will remember Hit Row and Legado had a pretty decent feud. Interesting enough, if you remember when Electra Lopez and B-Fab went at it, everybody was criticizing B-Fab, not Electra Lopez. But now they have Zelina Vega in the camp of Legado instead of Electra Lopez. Now, Could we possibly see Electra Lopez in storyline later on as a babyface? You know, and why did Legato go against her? I have no idea. I don't know what they're going to do with Electra Lopez. Now, I saw a super chat come in earlier. Thank you very much. And I will match, you know, your 10 spot, my friend. Let me take Legato off the screen. Okay. Big Sal said, first of all, rest in peace, Sarah Lee. My thoughts on Zelina Vega coming out with Legato instead of Electra Lopez. Now, my opinion is Zelina Vega, even though she's very small in size, has showed that she can actually work in the ring. She had a couple of matches, you know, not tearing the house down, but she has held her own in the ring. And right now she's feuding with B-Fab. So, you know, it's not very lopsided as far as wrestling goes. Zelina Vega is good on the mic. She's very creative, very attractive. She is Latina. So, you know, I'm not going to crap on this. Will I miss Electra Lopez being in this group? Absolutely. And as I said earlier, it would be very interesting to see the IWC's immediate reaction to this if Vince McMahon was still leading creative. You know, there would be petitions online to have Electra Lopez brought back into the group, without a doubt. Remember with Hit Row? Remember when they were moved to the main roster and there was no B-Fab? Remember the outrage online? So I'm not going to crap on this. I'm going to give Zelina Vega a chance. Why not? You know, maybe it ends up that she fits in better with Legato than anybody else. So, you know, I really can't crap on it. You know, Electra Lopez is talented. She's got a whole future ahead of her. And who knows where this goes? Maybe Electra Lopez does show up. Maybe her and Zelina Vega form a tag team. I don't think that'll happen because of the fact that they, and look, Hit Row is minus one person. You know, Santos Escobar, I don't think is going to be feuding with Hit Row. I think you're going to see, you know, Legato taking on Hit Row, and Santos Escobar will go on to bigger and better things. With all due respect, Hit Row is not a three-man group anymore. You know, Swerve is in AEW. So I think out of all of this, you will see Legato feuding with Hit Row, and I think Santos Escobar is going to be feuding with someone else. And because of that, I don't think we're going to see Electra Lopez anytime soon. You know, it related to this group. But thank you very much for that, my friend. Much love. And like I said earlier, I will definitely match what you posted. And, you know, Monday we'll go on to GoFundMe and we'll, whatever is contributed, we'll send in. So, the main event tonight, as we talked about at the beginning of the show, unfortunately, it's going to be overshadowed because of this. Watch Gunther. Yep. He tapped. What are they going to do? Have Jessica Carr cut a promo on SmackDown next week? I made a mistake. So they could just have a rematch? It's stupid. But I'll tell you this also. That was intentional. Because Gunther is not only one of the most talented wrestlers in that ring, he's extremely intelligent. And he knows that he is fighting an in a submission move. And the championship is on the line. He is not going to be careless like that and tap twice. So this was a planned moment. See? Why? Because he stopped. That's very, very stupid. Very stupid. That's almost like you're pinning someone, you get the three, and then you give up the pin. And because maybe that's not even a good comparison, but still, the bottom line is he tapped. Boom, boom, he tapped. That's it. You know, you don't have to tap three times. I mean, a referee has to do this three times, not a wrestler. So I thought that was very, very dumb. It's not the Liv Ronda Rousey ending because you had somebody tapping at the same time that somebody got pinned. All right? Sheamus was not getting pinned at that time. It's not the same thing. But again, you know, the only thing I am bringing up is, you know, I don't know why people have to put Triple H or Tony Khan or anybody else so high on a pedestal creative-wise. You know, I mean, Triple H, I love the energy. I love the excitement. I love that he is more in touch with today's wrestling and style and what fans want. I mean, obviously, Triple H is more, have his adapted hell of a lot more than Vince McMahon ever did. But that doesn't make him perfect. I think people are blocking out of their mind all of those years of Triple H's idea of 50-50 booking. I mean, that is something that people really got angry with, 50-50 booking. So why? Because he's now in charge and Vince is out of there. You know, hey, boss, what about 50-50 booking? Don't worry about it. We don't have to do that anymore. No, there's going to be things because wrestling is meant to give us clusterfucks. Wrestling is not always going to be cake and ice cream. There's always going to be things that are going to happen that we don't like. There's going to be people hired. There's going to be people fired. There's going to be people given belts, people losing belts. You're going to see bullshit finishes. There's going to be swerves. There's going to be things creatively. Look, a lot of people are kind of like crapping on damage control. I mean, really crapping on it. I mean, passionately crapping on it. Me, I'm fine with it. You know, because I want to see, I got to give it more time. You know, SummerSlam didn't happen 6 months ago. SummerSlam happened a very short time ago. And you have Bayley, you know, and it's basically her. Becky Lynch got injured. So obviously this would have looked a lot different if Becky Lynch didn't get injured. So you got to give a little bit of leeway. But at the same time, though, you know, I mean, this really has not been working. And who's at the helm with this? When you see some of the same finishes. How many times did we see that finish? 2 weeks in a row. Remember Natty had the sharpshooter on and then somebody was tapping and the ref didn't see it and then the wrong person was in the ring and it happened like three consecutive women's matches. They did the same exact finish. We talked about it. So look, this obviously overshadowed the match itself. The shillelagh at the end is setting up Extreme Rules because we know a couple of shillelaghs will be broken tomorrow during the card. But, you know, in the end, Gunther retains. Sheamus is so over with the fans. And Braun fucking Strowman. You pay attention to just the Twitter noise, you'll think that Braun Strowman is the most garbage, bullshit, ridiculous mistake that WWE has done in recent months. You pay attention to that crowd, Braun Strowman, you listen to that pop when he got the hot tag earlier. It was insane. And I felt so good for the guy because, you know, when the guy came back and he cried, you know, after he made his return, you know, because he's a human being. What did the haters do? They focused on the fact that he slipped when he was charging at Chad Gable. I'm like, man, you're just a, you know, bunch of dicks. I mean, look, you know, it sucks that it happened, but, you know, sometimes you got to let things, you know, go a little bit. Because especially when some of the internet darlings' favorites botch a spot, you know, they'll try to shoot it down as quickly as they possibly could. But Sheamus, man. Yeah, I do agree, Dream. I think Sheamus will probably win tomorrow. And Sheamus could very well pin Gunther. And guess what? Sheamus pinning Gunther tomorrow, adding on Jessica Carr, maybe on SmackDown next week, admitting that she made a mistake, and this leads to a rematch. You put those two together, it gives more to suspension of disbelief that Sheamus could very well win that championship, the only title that's eluded him. And guess what? Maybe in 2 or 3 weeks, Sheamus does win that championship. I think this is leading to Sheamus and Gunther again. And look, if 2-3 weeks from now, Sheamus ends up winning that championship, then, you know, this will be a little bit easier to swallow. But, you know, remember what I said about the Street Profits. Talk about a team whose stock has dramatically dived. And we all thought, most of us thought, that they were winning those titles at SummerSlam. I mean, everything, you couldn't have painted a better scenario. The vibe, the feeling, the momentum, everything that led up to it, they had arguably one of the matches of the year. The tag team, the pay-per-view premium live event before that, you couldn't have set it up any better. maybe WrestleMania is the only exception. And they didn't do it. And since then, they have been in mud, in quicksand. And, you know, so, all right. I think that is it. Oh, the other match that we had tonight that was very, very good. Solo Sikoa over Ricochet. Very competitive match. You know, Ricochet took some massive, you know, spills, spots, looked very, very rough, but, you know, he's still in a tremendous wrestler. But unfortunately, pair of super kicks were not enough. Climbs the top rope, attempts a moonsault. He gets caught. Solo Sikoa hits the spinning solo for the win. And Solo Sikoa's winning streak continues. Solo Sikoa, I am very, very happy how Solo Sikoa's fit in to that main roster. One thing I did like also, because I know a few of you picked up on it as well. And look, Michael Cole has done this before. He name dropped promotions once again tonight when he was talking about Gunther and his current Intercontinental Championship reign. He brought up West Side Extreme, PWG and Progress. You know, Michael Cole saying, you know, Gunther has come a long way from West Side Extreme, PWG and Progress. Because WWE and Triple H, they realize, like, you know, even if people Google Progress or PWG, you know, is WWE going to lose any merchandise revenue, you know, or event revenue or ticket revenue or viewership or anything else because somebody learns about a promotion? No, it's a name drop. It's not a big deal. And, you know, it's interesting when you realize how strict Vince McMahon was for so many years that you couldn't even mention someone else's promotion. You know, even a company that was out of business, you know, they didn't like, unless Vince owned it. So, but, you know, great main event match tonight, but again, overshadowed because of what we saw. So, all right. Very quickly, before we get into Extreme Rules, I want to thank Misfitor with the two spot. Could we put Garza and that other guy with the two of them? You're talking about Humberto Carrillo and Angel God. Look, maybe you're onto something. Maybe Electra Lopez joins Humberto Carrillo and Angel Garza. Maybe down the line, we have Electra Lopez representing Los Lotharios and they feud with Legado. Problem is, Legado obviously are heels, you know, and so are Los Lotharios. I don't think they're going to turn them babyface anytime soon, but why not? It's not a bad idea. I like that. You could put them with Electra Lopez, but I don't think you put them with Legado. You know, we don't need Legado Fantasma to have 5 members, 6 members, 7 members. You know, leave it with the 3. You got the singles guy and you got the tag team. That is the perfect formula for New Day. That is the perfect formula for some other groups out there. In AEW, they have trios titles because of them doing things in threes. And who knows, 10 years from now, trios titles might overtake the standard from tag titles. You know, just understand that for a lot of promotions, if you have 6 people out there instead of 4, you're paying for 6 people instead of 4 people. You know, bigger promotions, not a big deal. Smaller promotions, now you got to add people to the card. So, but that's not a bad idea. It's not a bad idea. So, all right, Extreme Rules. How long are we going? Wow, 79 minutes already. We'll be done in 10 minutes. All right, we got Extreme Rules Saturday night. I will be here right after Extreme Rules with your post-show review. So as soon as Extreme Rules goes off the air, come right here on YouTube. I will be live doing your review. Now, before we get into matches, do I think Bray Wyatt is there in person? My gut feeling says no. My gut feeling says no. Only because, well, let me rephrase it a different way. What scenario have I been saying for the last couple of weeks? If they're going to bring back Bray Wyatt physically on WWE television this quick, then it might be because of Saudi Arabia. The thing is, though, is Saudi Arabia wanted the Fiend character. Bray Wyatt, as Bray Wyatt, was not necessarily what Saudi Arabia was looking for. They were more into the monster. And the big question for everyone out there is, what is Bray Wyatt going to look like when he returns? That has been one of the biggest repeated questions that I have been asked on all these shows. And as I've said before, if he has a mask still, and I think he will have some type of a mask, I think he comes down to the ring with it, but I don't think he wrestles with it. I think also he's going to be more in darker colors, leather, you know, not a biker, not, you know, Undertaker, American Badass, but I could see him being more dark, you know, not necessarily goth, because some people said to me, DT, do you mean goth? No, I think he comes out with much darker colors and, you know, with maybe some leather mixed in with it. I don't see him wearing Hawaiian shirts again. And I don't see him wearing the Terry Funk, you know, tights, or even, you know, remotely when he was doing his Mr. Rogers stuff with the Firefly Funhouse. I think he comes out with a very, very dark attire. Not BDSM. They're not going to go BDSM. Just going to be a dark, dark attire. Another question everybody's asking is, do I think he comes back with Alexa Bliss? If Alexa Bliss would have been taken out by Damage Control 2 or 3 weeks ago and she disappeared, that's one thing. If they would have done something where it almost was like she heard voices or maybe something was off with her in it for a couple of weeks, then I could see it. But she just got laid out by Damage Control and she's still associated too closely with Asuka and Bianca Belair. If she shows up at Extreme Rules tomorrow, totally with Bray Wyatt, people are still going to think of Alexa Bliss with Bianca Belair and Asuka. And what is their reaction going to be? And is she going to be a full-fledged heel? I'm not so sure about that. So I personally think Alexa Bliss, a little bit too soon. You know, I think it would be way too soon if she were to return with Bray tomorrow. I don't see it happening. And if it did, look, as I said for the last week or two, if Bray Wyatt shows up in person tomorrow, even though I don't think he'll be there in person, but if I'm wrong, this is a time where I will be ecstatic if I'm wrong, because we want to see him back and we want to see him now. You know, we want him back as quickly as possible. We want to see him dominate. But here's another thing to think about. Who does he go after? Does anybody stop to think about who does he go after? Who does he go after? Roman Reigns? Uh-uh. Definitely not. No, nothing is going to interfere with Logan Paul versus Roman Reigns right now. This is the one thing that I have noticed for the last 4 weeks online, and I purposely waited till these predictions to bring it out for all of you. People for the last 4 weeks, regular fans, you know, hardcore fans, diehard WWE fans, long-term fans, podcasters, sites, bloggers, people in the business, outside the business, they all talked about every little aspect of Bray except for one thing. Who's he going to feud with on his return? No one has ever talked about that. No one's ever thought about it. And that is something to really think about. So let's get into, and here's another thing. I'd love to poll everyone who's live right now. What match do you think closes out Extreme Rules? What do you think the last match is going to be at Extreme Rules? Something to think about, you know, and what match opens up Extreme Rules? Now, you know, that you pretty much could do anything, but what match closes out Extreme Rules? Are you going to really consider Karrion Kross and Drew McIntyre to go off the air, especially if Karrion Kross wins it? Is Bray Wyatt going to return to destroy Drew McIntyre? I mean, that's kind of odd. Would you go fight Pitt? You got Daniel Cormier there. What happens if Bray Wyatt shows up? is Danielle Cormier going to just like sit by like, oh, snap. Oh, shit. You know, you know, something, I don't know what they do. Actually, Psycho, you know, would they dare end the show with Liv Morgan and Ronda Rousey? That'd be pretty fascinating. All right, let's get into the matches. Now, the matches, the order I put it in, I only put it in this order based on most predictable to probably least predictable as far as outcomes go. I want to make that clear because, you know, I don't want to say that one match is going to close it or open it. But here you go. Hang on. Okay, here we go. Talk to me. There we go. All right. Bianca Belair absolutely, positively will retain her Raw Women's Championship, defeating Bayley. I am happy that Bayley is back. Sure, you can have damage control, have all the gold, but Bianca Belair, you know, remember, she won it at WrestleMania. And I think Bianca Belair needs to do a little bit more with this championship. If you take the belt off of Bianca, I think you do it more because you don't know who she's going to feud with next. I would love for Bayley to win it and have Sasha Banks return. But as we've talked about to death, you know, Sasha Banks, when she and Naomi returns, that's going to happen in a much different environment. You remember the sausage. Saudi Arabia would love to have Sasha Banks back. And they have a lot of pull as well, especially that kind of money on the table. But even if that were to happen, you know, Sasha Banks and Naomi, they come back, they're coming for tag titles. So who does Bayley actually feud with after this? Dana Brooke? So right now I say Bianca Belair retains. Maybe they have a rematch. Who knows, you know, who she could face next. But right now I think Bianca Belair absolutely has to retain. And that could very well be the opening match for Extreme Rules. All right, next on the list, Drew McIntyre versus Karrion Kross. Believe it or not, you know, this actually, I could go either way with this. Drew McIntyre has back issues. Drew McIntyre needs to take some time off here and there. I could close my eyes and I can envision Drew McIntyre touching all four corners with the strap and win the match. But then I feel like unless Karrion Kross beats the fuck out of Drew McIntyre right after, you know, Drew wins, I think that hurts Karrion Kross's momentum. Karrion Kross, you know me, I'm ecstatic that he's back. I want to see him go further. I don't want it rushed, and I don't want it taken away too quick as well. I personally think Karrion Kross needs this win 10 times more than Drew McIntyre needs this win. I'm going to go with Karrion Kross because I don't know how Karrion Kross recovers from this, even if he does destroy Drew McIntyre after the match. Could we see Karrion Kross align with Bray Wyatt? Anything's possible, but I don't see it. I don't see it. Even though some people get really deep with that and they really give some ideas that sound great, but I don't see WWE getting that deep with that. I'm going to go with Karrion Kross to win. Maybe it's a very close match. Maybe Scarlett gets involved. Maybe Scarlett gets involved and it backfires, but enough to distract Drew McIntyre enough where Karrion Kross just lays him out and gets the win. So I'm going to go with Kross to win. I think he needs this win. All right, next, Matt Riddle versus Seth Rollins fight pit match. Danielle Cormier, special guest referee. I can't help but to think, even though Seth Rollins got a win at the last Premium Live event, which is his first win in a very long time on Premium Live events, you know, he's beaten Matt Riddle already. And this is a fight pit. This is not a wrestling ring. So if Seth Rollins loses in a fight pit, you know, it's not a wrestling match. So I don't think Seth Rollins loses anything by this. I get this weird feeling that Daniel Cormier may actually knock Seth Rollins out, whether it happens during the match or after the match. I think Daniel Cormier may actually get physical in this, but I'm going with Matt Riddle to beat Seth Rollins. Look, yeah, some people are thinking that Brock Lesnar comes out. Why? Because Brock did a little bit of Ultimate Fighting. I mean, look, Brock Lesnar, I think, comes back for Saudi Arabia. And who knows? Maybe we get Brock Lesnar versus Drew McIntyre, Saudi Arabia. Maybe we get Brock Lesnar versus Matt Riddle, Saudi Arabia. Maybe we get Brock Lesnar versus Seth Rollins in Saudi Arabia. There's so many different ways to go with this. I just don't think bringing Brock Lesnar back during a fight pit match, I'm not feeling that. I think this is going to be, it might end up being our least favorite match of the night, only because Seth Rollins is so out of his element. I think it's going to be a lot of gaga. I mean, I think you're going to see some stiff shots being given during this, but I think in the end, you're going to see Seth Rollins get in the face of Daniel Cormier repeatedly, and I think something happens. But in the end, I'm going to go with Matt Riddle to win. But again, it's not a wrestling match, so I'm not worried about Seth Rollins losing any momentum or any stock because of this. So I'm going with Matt Riddle to win. Good old-fashioned Donnybrook match. At this point, after what we saw tonight on SmackDown, I think there's only one way you could go with this. Sheamus has to pin Gunther. Whether they use shillelaghs, whether he chops him 50 times, whether he just knocks his ass out with some crazy shit, I think, especially after what we got on SmackDown, and it almost feels like they have to turn this into a storyline now, because believe me, that immediate reaction online, people were pissed off. And, you know, look, WWE is good to piss off fans. Just because Triple H is at the helm now and Vince is not doesn't mean they are going to still piss off fans. It's going to happen from time to time. But I think in some way, Sheamus getting the upper hand and pinning Gunther at Extreme Rules, it gives Sheamus a victory. It gives Sheamus a little momentum back. You know Sheamus, listen, this is obvious. I'm not I'm not revealing anything that any of you are going to be like, holy shit, DT, you're so spot on. I think each and every one of you are thinking about this. It's only common sense that next week on SmackDown, Sheamus comes out there and says, I was robbed. I should have won the Intercontinental Championship. They're going to show the footage. And they're going to show the footage of Gunther tapping out. That's going to be shown on SmackDown. So he's got to get a win at Extreme Rules as well. You take that, you take this, leads to another rematch. And look, Gunther and Sheamus, top five match of the year so far. The last match they had, the day I got married. Listen, that was the last thing I saw before I got married that day. I was actually in my bedroom, you know, just waiting for the limo to pick us up, and I'm watching half the Premium Live event, and, you know, here is Gunther versus Sheamus. It was incredible. Who would not want to see them battle again? So, yeah, we got a clusterfuck finish tonight, but I think this is going to lead to more. So I'm going with Imperium to lose to Sheamus, Ridge Holland, and Butch, the Brawling Brutes. So that leaves us with Liv Morgan and Ronda Rousey. You know, Liv Morgan ain't Cody Rhodes. And Ronda Rousey isn't Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins gave three consecutive wins to Cody Rhodes. And, you know, should Ronda Rousey give three consecutive losses, you know, or take three consecutive losses from Liv Morgan? I would say no, but I really, truthfully believe Charlotte is about to return. In fact, Charlotte Flair has a history of beating the fuck out of Ronda Rousey. That Singapore cane they did, what was it, SummerSlam that time? SummerSlam or Survivor Series, whatever match it was. That is one of the most underrated matches in recent WWE women's history. That match was so fire. And I could see Charlotte Flair showing up and just destroying both women. Would WWE have the balls to end this in a no contest? It could happen. Would they have Charlotte Flair return? If Bray Wyatt returns, would you still have Charlotte Flair return the same night? Would you feel that Bray Wyatt overshadows Charlotte returning? But I just feel that if Ronda Rousey loses for a third time to Liv Morgan, yeah, you could do it with extreme rules because Liv Morgan can use weapons. She could cheat. You know, Ronda Rousey's out of her element. There could be some bullshit thing where Ronda Rousey is stuck under a bunch of debris, similar to what we all even thought with Brock Lesnar when he fought Roman Reigns. Believe it or not, I think Liv Morgan retains this title because if Ronda Rousey wins tomorrow and then Charlotte Flair returns, how does the crowd react to Ronda Rousey? How does the crowd react to Charlotte Flair? Charlotte Flair is a natural heel, but a lot of people think that Liv Morgan is going to turn heel. I'm not so convinced. Ronda Rousey, you know, they've been trying to turn her heel. You know, if she ends up being the babyface out of all of this, you're going to have Liv Morgan and Charlotte be heels. That roster on SmackDown is very heel heavy. And I know Raquel Rodriguez is probably the biggest babyface coming out of that next to Liv Morgan. That's very premature in my opinion. So, you know, and then you got Lacey Evans, then you got a lot of others. Shotzi, they're trying to rebuild, obviously. I'm going to go with Liv Morgan to keep her championship. But the question is, does she win? Because Charlotte Flair could end up destroying both women, leave them laying, and we go off the air, possibly with Charlotte Flair just standing on top of both women. It's not out of the question. Look, it would have to be total destruction for people to like it. Because honestly, guys, gals, I can't help but to keep thinking about Brock Lesnar, Braun Strowman, Roman Reigns. Remember that match? What was it, Elimination Chamber? Well, no, it wasn't Elimination Chamber. It was Hell in a Cell, wasn't it? Hell in a Cell? They went off the air. Wasn't that the one with the graphic that Braun Strowman looked like the devil and he had the tongue sticking out? The tongue. That was one of the that was a turning point in their ratings at that time. If you remember, I did a whole deep dive in their ratings leading up to that match and what happened afterwards. And you see a significant drop. It was Hell in a Cell, yes. So that was awful. Now, tomorrow is not Hell in a Cell, but if Charlotte Flair returns and does enough damage, you know, they could probably get away with them going off the air without a decisive winner. Ronda Rousey does not lose a third time. Liv Morgan does not win either, but she still has her title. I don't know. Look, I'm going to say Liv Morgan wins because I can't picture them just going off the air with no winner. But I truthfully believe Liv Morgan retains because if Ronda Rousey regains that title and Charlotte Flair returns, I mean, look, I know we got Brock versus Roman, you know, again at SummerSlam after WrestleMania. That was supposed to be it. That's it. Greatest WrestleMania match in history. That was it. And then they did it again. Now, I don't regret them doing it at SummerSlam. The match was incredible. But do people really want to see Charlotte Flair and Ronda Rousey go again? They ain't Brock Lesnar or Roman Reigns, with all due respect. So I personally think Ronda Rousey wins, it is going to be so fucking overshadowed so quickly because Charlotte returns. And I don't think Triple H wants that. So I'm going to go with Liv to retain. And that is your Extreme Rules card. So six matches. Oh, no. Oh, I almost forgot. Shit. I knew he, I know we got, okay. It did feel like something was left out. Edge. versus Finn Balor. I quit. Wow. You imagine if I went off the air and I saw that? Oh, my God, that would have been disaster. Okay. Look at this graphic closely. See the left? See the fireflies? All right. Now, if you look at the other matches, let's go through the matches quick. Okay. Now, with all due respect, the predictions banner you just saw, I put those fireflies. Yeah, see, look. Look on the left. See there's fireflies? And a lantern on this one, but it is absent. It's there also, but look. Oh, well, no, you know, they actually have them on all the graphics now. All right. See, last week, they only had on two of the graphics. Now they have them on all of them. All right. That's good. All right. Let's get back to this graphic. Talk to me. I made that graphic up. So just so you know. All right. Let's go back. Hold on. Let's get to the match. Finn Balor versus Edge, I quit. You know what? More I think about it, this is the match that's got to go off the air. You got to go off the air with Finn Balor versus Edge. Edge is Hall of Famer, still beloved by the fans. Even with the Judgment Day storyline, he totally shit on the fans. When he came back, it should have been, you know, him on a deserted island, nobody wanted him. I mean, he eviscerated the fans, and the fans, you know, they forgave him again. Remember, this is Adam now. This is the grizzled, old, married veteran with children. So Edge versus Finn Balor has to go off the air. Now, the question is, does Bray Wyatt have anything to do with Finn Balor? Remember the match that we thought we were going to... Anybody remember Pumpkinhead? Anybody remember Finn Balor when they did the graphic and he had the pumpkin colors and we thought we were going to get Sister Abigail? I don't have that graphic in front of me. That is, in my opinion, the worst thumbnail that I have seen in WWE in the last 15 years. Looking at Bray Wyatt in pumpkin colors and Bray Wyatt as Sister Abigail, it was awful, it was weird, and I can't help but to think that maybe Bray Wyatt returning has to do with Finn Balor. But, here's the difference. Here's the difference. When The Fiend made his debut, who did The Fiend come out and destroy? Anybody remember? Who did The Fiend come out and destroy? Finn Balor. I think Bray Wyatt may actually get involved with this. Why would Bray Wyatt want to destroy Edge? That's the question. I don't think Bray Wyatt returns and destroys Finn Balor. If anything, I see the opposite. But then you ask yourself, well, what about Judgment Day? You know, we got Damian Priest. You got Rhea Ripley. You got Dominic Mysterio. You know that they're going to be there. Now, didn't Edge kind of say something to Finn Balor, leave you guys at home? So we could very well just have Edge versus Finn Balor at ringside. This way, when Bray Wyatt does whatever he does, Rhea Ripley isn't there, Damian Priest isn't there, and Dominic Mysterio sure isn't there to have nothing to do with it. The only problem is, yeah, I'm going with you, Xander. The only problem is there are so many layers with that. If Bray Wyatt returns and helps Finn Balor, where does this leave Finn Balor? He is on fire right now with Judgment Day. You don't change that. But why would Bray Wyatt want to destroy Edge? I almost feel like if Bray Wyatt were to return, it would be to destroy Edge. And even with that, I'm not feeling it. So if you ask my honest opinion, I don't think Bray Wyatt physically returns at Extreme Rules. I hope I'm wrong. I hope to come up here in 24 hours and say, man, that was fucking awesome. He showed up and he did this, he did that. It was incredible. Crowd loved it. I loved it. Boom. I don't know. I just can't. Like, you look at the people tomorrow, like, if there were other people on the card, okay, I kind of see it, but this almost feels like maybe teasers. Maybe the lights go off. Maybe there's some special effects. Maybe something happens and we don't see it. I just, if he returns tomorrow, what the fuck is Bray Wyatt going to do? I would love for all of you out there to later on post in the comment section, what if Bray Wyatt were to return in Extreme Rules, what do you think he's going to do? Who do you think he's going to go after? I think, honestly, I think we get teasers, even if they reveal tomorrow that it's Bray Wyatt. Maybe they announce Bray Wyatt. Look, when Edge, remember, when they announced that Edge was returning, remember the blood? You know, when they announced that he was returning, they showed his name first in blood, and then we got to see him return. So they can announce Bray Wyatt returning tomorrow. That doesn't mean that he's actually there tomorrow. Maybe he physically returns in Saudi Arabia. That could very well be. Maybe he returns on Raw. Maybe it's the season premiere of Raw. They're going to be in Brooklyn, my neck of the woods. So if you ask me, I think we get more teasers. Maybe they announce he's returning, but I personally don't see him physically appearing tomorrow. I think if anything happens tomorrow, maybe AJ Styles gets involved. Maybe AJ Styles comes down to the ring. Maybe we get something where Damian Priest and Dominic Mysterio try to get involved. Rey shows up. Maybe Rey gets into it with Damian Priest. You know, maybe Dominic Mysterio tries to do something and AJ Styles shows up, but this time AJ Styles turns on Edge and helps Finn Balor win. So I'm going to go with Finn Balor to defeat Edge, and I could see AJ Styles turning heel. It would spice up AJ Styles. Remember, it was Edge who turned on AJ Styles for WrestleMania. AJ Styles just returned in a favor. So that's where I'm going with that. Psycho Bray Wyatt's not going after Triple H. Triple H is not getting physical. And they sure ain't hell going to do that right before the 25th anniversary of D-Generation X. I think a lot of people forget on Monday's Raw, we get the celebration, 25 years of D-Generation X. So that's going to be fun. A lot of reminiscing. I tell you, pretty wild. You know, the other day we celebrated, well, it really wasn't a celebration, but we remembered it was the 25th anniversary of Brian Pillman passing away. It was also the 25th anniversary of Kane making his debut. Now we're celebrating 25 years of D-Generation X. You know, a lot of shit went down in 1997. You know, a lot of turning points and a lot of, you know, changes in wrestling. So, all right. Yeah, Road Dogg has put on weight. He's put on weight for a while. He's enjoying himself. You know, he's doing well. So, all right, everyone. I'm going to jet out of here. We actually went longer than I expected, but Steve wants to let everyone know that he was at SmackDown and the rabbit is definitely Bray Wyatt. You don't say! You know what? That's awesome. That's cool. You know, because like I said weeks ago, keep it simple. Keep it simple. We know it's Bray. Let's just enjoy the ride and see how we get from point A to point B. You know, I actually was listening to Jim Cornette earlier today. And Jim Cornette and Brian Last were talking about how has wrestling, it wasn't Jim Cornette and Brian Last. It was Disco Inferno and Conan. They were talking about, you know, has wrestling changed now where, you know, like we have to know like in advance, like we know in advance who the person is and it's no longer like revealed as a surprise. Like CM Punk was the worst kept secret. Now Bray Wyatt is the worst kept secret and Edge was the worst kept secret. Is this now the new formula? And I say no, because the first person that comes to mind to me, 1999, Chris Jericho, that countdown clock, we knew it was for Jericho. Everybody knew it was for Jericho. And the best part about it was, you know, because of the countdown clock, even though the internet was nowhere as advanced as it is now, you simply could just do math and figure out, okay, the countdown clock at this particular time is this many months, this many weeks, days, minutes, and, you know, whatever. And you could say, oh, okay, that means when it goes to zero, it should happen right at this time, right on this day. And that's what happened. So Chris Jericho, we all knew. Rock made his return, we all knew. Some people who have made returns, we all knew. So, you know, there's been many times over the years that a buildup was for someone, and we knew that the person was coming back. So with the Bray Wyatt, the fun is trying to figure out what everything means. How do you connect all the dots? You know, if you play connect the dots, and you know in advance that it's going to lead to a rabbit, then why even connect the dots? So somebody buys you a connect the dots book, you open it up like, oh, this is a rabbit. Why am I even going to connect the dots? I know it's a rabbit. I can tell it's a rabbit because it's fun putting it all together. You know, you get, you know, you got adult crayons and you get an adult coloring book and you look at the cover and the cover is, you know, the item, you know, the flowers or whatever it is. So you already know what it looks like. So why even bother spending the time with the colored pencils for 7 hours? And then you look at it and you're like, I could have fucking photocopied the cover and it would have been the same thing. I could have just photoshopped it and said, oh, look, I finished. You know, because it's, you know, along the way, it's to have fun. It's like somebody said, it's a scavenger hunt. So, all right, everyone, enjoy Extreme Rules and enjoy the rest of your weekend. I know tonight we had Rampage Live and Battle of the Belts, which is about to go off the air in 3 minutes. I will skim through that sometime between tonight and tomorrow, and I will watch both shows, and we'll get into it briefly on Monday. I hope we have a lot to talk about tomorrow night for Extreme Rules. So for those that are catching this broadcast after Saturday, October 8th, when I go like this, you can check out the Extreme Rules recap and review. So I'll be here live right after the event ends. I expect it to be around 11 p.m. Remember, there's 6 matches. And the Bray Wyatt stuff, again, you know, if he's there in person, awesome. I just think it's maybe just a reveal. At most, maybe we get some special effects, lights go out, we get a Titantron video, and you know, it leads that it's official, Bray Wyatt's returning. And you know, now the question is it in person, is it Raw, is it Saudi Arabia? You know, that will be just probably answered tomorrow. So, and that's it. So again, anybody who contributed tonight on the Super Chats, I will match it. And we still got tomorrow's Extreme Rules and Sunday sit down. So I will put it all together and then we'll send it to our GoFundMe on Monday. So, all right, everybody, have a great rest of the night. Enjoy your weekend. Any questions or comments from tonight's show that you want me to answer, just post it in the comment section. And yeah, that's it. Enjoy Extreme Rules. Be well. All the best.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.